All right, we'll start at the top of the Mishnah begins. He told him she samchu etzel balabait. Right, so this is separate from the next line in the Mishnah, which is that Yitzomim who are relying on a certain person. He wasn't officially appointed to be their executor of the estate, but nevertheless they are somech on his shulchan, and they rely on this individual. Oh, shemina lehem abim abitofu. So on the other hand, their father actually appointed this individual to be an executor of the estate. Chayav laser perotam. He's got to take care of their basic needs, which includes being maser the perotam. If the person was appointed by the father to be the executive of the state, then he must take a shvuah at the end that basically he took care of all their needs properly, and he hasn't taken anything from the estate, and he hasn't done anything wrong by them. He knew Beis Din. On the other hand, if he was appointed the executive of the estate by Beis Din, lo yishava, then he will not take such a shvuah. Avishal omer chilus tvarim. Avishal says just the opposite. If he's appointed by the father, he does not need to take a shvuah, whereas if he's appointed by Beis Din, he does need to take a shvuah. See later in the daf today why that is. What's the issue? Biriminu. Kumar is going to challenge the issue about Ma'asrot first. How do you know that he takes Ma'asrot? The Apitropos can take Ma'asrot. Then we have a brisa that says, Atem velo shutfin, right? You must take off your trumot to Ma'asrot, and not your shutfin, meaning that you cannot take behalf of your partner without your partner's knowledge. Atem velo arisim, you, if your person's a sharecropper, you may take from his possessions, but not the possessions of the balabait, meaning the one he's taking, who's sharecropping for. Atem velo apitropim, and you are not an executor of the estate. The executor of the estate may not take off Chumot to Maestrot. Below in Tareim, it's Shein or Shiloh. A person may not take off Chumot to Maestrot from something that does not belong to him. So how come over here, in our case, he is taking off, or we demanded him to take Maestrot for the Yisomim, and yet, nevertheless, we have a price that explicitly says that Apichopus cannot act on behalf of the Yisomim. So I'm going to list the location. That's not a problem. Kan ha'achil, kan ha'niach. It depends on the immediacy of the need, meaning that if the Yisomim need to eat, and they need to have Tedo Mitukan, meaning they need Trumot Maestrot removed, that they can do. Kan laniach. But if they need to leave it over, meaning that he can't, for the future, have them store stuff that needs to have Trumot Maestrot taken off, because they'll take it off when it's necessary. So he can't take it off in advance, as opposed to if they need it immediately and they're going to use it, then he has the right to take off for them on their behalf Trumot Maestrot. Tanya, this brisa is a very long brisa. So the Gemara will intercede a number of times in the brisa, but it's basically a brisa about apitropin. What's the status of the executor of the estate? What's his rights or his obligations with regard to the yitom? Apitropin tomim masrim lahachil v'lo la'aniach. So this supports the position of Rav Chista, which says that a betrothal, the executor, can take off for them to eat immediately, but not to leave over for later. He may sell on their behalf possessions that include animals, right, avadim shvachot, houses, fields, vineyards, in order for them to eat. I mean, if they need food to eat, then he can execute on their behalf to create or have food for them available to them. But not laniach, not to leave over later on. Why not laniach? So Rashi says, number one, shema yignivu, maybe they'll be stolen. That's what Rashi says. Inami shem shevach beit avien. We've seen this before, which is that it's the honor of the father's household, so we don't sell that which belongs to the estate or to the family, because that's part of the glory of the family, of these individuals' fields and stuff that belongs to them. So therefore, you can only sell for their immediate needs and not for their future needs. Umokalahem peirot, enot, shmanim, siltot. Again, these are items that he may transact on their behalf for fruits, wines, right, oils, flour, for them to eat. But again, not laniach, not to leave over. Any mitzvah that has a fixed amount associated with it, a fixed cost associated with it, then he can sell or act on their behalf so that they can perform these mitzvot. They are tuyeh, what does it include? The shofar. So today, since we blew the shofar first then, so there you go, including a shofar that he may purchase on their behalf to reclaim that mitzvah. Again, he could take for them, sefer Torah, tefillin, mezuzot. Again, anything that has a fixed cost to it, but to a megillah, including a megillah, that it's all these are items which they would perform mitzvot with, that he's allowed to purchase on their behalf so they can perform these mitzvot. Then he can't give on their behalf staka, and he can't contribute to redeeming captives, because these again are the opposite of what we saw before. These are the dvarim she'ein lo kitzva, items that do not have a definitive or fixed amount that you would spend on these mitzvot. Below kol dvar she'ein lo kitzva, no item that has no fixed price or fixed amount associated with it that you can't do. Latuye tankumei avelim, to include the tankumei avelim. Again, these are items that are undefined in their cost or the amount that one would expend on them, and since that's the case, he may not spend on their behalf. He cannot go to court on their behalf, whether to their benefit or to their detriment in the Nichsei Yitomim. So Gemara says, this goes to Milo. Why can't he do it L'tzad Chus for them? Meaning that, okay, if you say L'tzad Chov that you can't do it, right? If you can't do it when it's an obligation or to their detriment, that makes sense. But to their benefit, why can't he go to that on their behalf? So Gemara says, Ella Lachov Amanat Liskot B'Nichsei Yitomim. He can't go to court, meaning assuming that he's going to win, and then he thinks he's going to win, and then he ends up losing. And he goes to court on their benefit, for their benefit, and he ends up losing on their behalf. There we say it's not valid, because he cannot act on their behalf when it goes to their detriment. He can only act on their behalf if he wins. So basically, when he goes to court, the only outcome that will stand is if he wins. If he loses, again, they could challenge him afterwards for acting to their detriment. Vein Apitropin, that was just an intercession. I mean, they interceded in the Brisa. Now the Brisa continues. Vein Apitropin Rashayim Limkor Berchok Berlegaobikarov. They can't sell fields that are far away in order to redeem closer fields. Berah the Gobiafen, or bad fields, meaning to be Goel, better fields. Nighttime. Well, what's the problem? The Dilma Mishkatvin. That's the problem. We don't know, again, what's going to happen with these fields. It may flood. Something bad may happen to the fields that he redeems. And there, again, this could be something that, even though it looks like it's to their benefit, may end up being to their detriment. So we don't allow the executor to act on their behalf in case it turns out to be negative. He can't sell fields in order to buy slaves. But he can sell slaves, right, in order to acquire real property. Again, real property is considered in their day was equivalent of putting money in the bank versus, right, having it in metallic and avadim that could pass away. He may not even act on that manner, which is to sell slaves in order to buy real property. My time. What's the reason of Shimon Gamliel? Dilmalo Mishafion, right? Maybe they will not, right, be so quiet by him. What does that mean? Lo Yum Shukotot, it's Lo Shemi Yitzelab Yehur. As he says, there may be challenges to the title of the property, meaning that you never know what type of negative things can come up because of this. So therefore, we don't want him acting on behalf because, again, the Shukotom, he can act. But if it turns out to be their detriment in all these situations, the executor is not empowered to act. He cannot free slaves. This is actually part of the price that we saw earlier in the Masechta. We quoted it because of Rabbi's positions we're going to see in a second, which is that he cannot free slaves, but he can sell the slave to someone else. And the other person can free the slave, meaning that he, as long as he gets the full money's worth of the slave, then he can do it. Rabbi says, as we quoted earlier in the Masechta, is that he can sell the slave to himself. Because that's the equivalent of selling to a third party. How is it different if he sells it to a third party versus if he sells the slave to himself and the slave buys his own freedom? Because in each of these instances, they're getting full value for the slave. At the end of the day, he's got to make an accounting for them, right, that everything was done. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, he does not have to make such a counting. We'll see. Again, this might have to do with Machlokes that we saw, again, in our Mishnah about when he has to have to make a neder or not take it, take a shvuah or not take a shvuah when he worked on the property of the Yisomim. These three parties cannot be, we don't appoint as executors. Nashim we don't do, not because they're not qualified, but because in Darkam, let's say, it's not their, right, that's not their natural, we talked about this earlier about women not going to Beis Din all the time, just not the area where they're going to go out and act, right, this is not an area that we expect them to act in. Avadim we're worried about because, but they are not Nemanim, and Ketanim, obviously are not qualified because they are not B'nai Dat. If he appointed them, I assume mostly in this case, I mean, all of these are qualified, but I assume mostly about women we're talking about here, but if the father of the estate, of the Yisomim appointed them to be an executor, then we can't overrule the father. I mean, that's what he chose, that's fine also. Now, how apotropos, that would be Shibudei, the Rebbe Meir. There was this executor who was in the neighborhood of Rebbe Meir, the Havakam Zavin Arota, Zavin Abde. He was selling land, right, and buying slaves. But we said in our Brice, it was not qualified. He may not do such a thing. Lo Shapke Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir did not allow him to do such. Akbulei Bechalme, so it showed up in a dream to him. So the dream, it says, either Anu or Ani Laharos, about Talib's notes. I assume they meant this in a Lashon Tmiyah, meaning that what? We're trying to destroy, you're trying to build, meaning that, why do you think this executor is not doing it right? So, Philokhilo Ashkaf, but the mayor didn't listen to this, he listened to the Halacha, which is the Brice. So why? Amar Dibrei Cholamot, Lo Malim Velo Mordin. Right, we don't pass the Halacha, we don't make decisions based on dreams. And so therefore I'm not going to change what the proper Halacha should be in this instance. So interesting. Hanu Beitrei, the Igre Behu Satan. It's another story by Rabbi Meir. Just as they brought a story by Rabbi Meir, they bring an additional story. It's a nice story here. There was two individuals that used to fight, right, that the Satan got a hold of them. Chol Beit Shimsha, every Shabbos, they got into a fight. Every Shabbos, they got into a fight about something. They had some argument that happened every Arab Shabbos. Ikwa Rabbi Meir Lahatam. So Rabbi Meir showed up and refereed, basically, for them. The communal twat the Beit Shimsha for three Arab Shabbos. They simply established Chazaka. But he went three Arab Shabbos, he went in there, refereed, and stopped them from arguing or getting to a fight. Ad Abel Hushama. And then he was able to create peace between them so that they no longer fought on Arab Shabbos. Shamed the Kamar, Rabbi Meir heard that the Satan saying, Vai Dafki Rabbi Meir, Lahu Gabri Mebeite. Woe to Rabbi Meir who threw this person out of his house, meaning that he threw the Satan. Satan had a place to go every Arab Shabbos. And now Rabbi Meir took away the place, his house, to go Erev Shabbos. Another mice, Rabbi Meir, not necessarily relevant to our Gemara here, just a nice mice about Rabbi Meir. Now, how apotropos, Rabbi Shibudei, Rabbi Shul ben Levi. There was an apotropos who lived in the neighborhood of Rabbi Shul ben Levi. The Vakam Zabin Aroch, the Zabin Torah. He was selling land and buying oxen. Below Amar Lei, below Mide. And he didn't go ahead and say anything to him. What do you mean? Our Mishnah specifically says the only thing you can sell is to buy real property, buy real estate, right? Selling real estate is not allowed, especially if you're buying oxen. But there we said slaves, but especially if you're buying oxen. So how come Rabbi Shua ben Levi did not intercede over here? So Sarvalak Rabbi Yossi, holds like Rabbi Yossi is a famous Gemara in Shabbos, Titania. Rabbi Yossi, Mimai, Lo Karitili, Shti, Shti. I never called my wife, Ella, right? Or the Shari, Shari, or my ox, Ella, Shti, Beiti. I call my wife my house. Meaning that the implications of calling his wife his house was that she was, right, the Akeret Habayit. Everything ran by his wife. His wife was the, right, the key to the success of the household. Right? Ulushori Sadai. And he never called the shore a shore, El Sadai, because the shore, the oxen, was, he depended on the oxen to plow the fields and to make the fields or cultivate the fields, and therefore, he called it Shori Sadai. So in that case, if he holds like Rabbi Yossi, that means that shore is equivalent to Sadeh. If shore is equivalent to Sadeh, then selling fields to purchase Shvarim is okay. So Hanu Yatme, Gabi Shmiche, Gabi Yahus Abdo.
So this is impossible. You couldn't sell all of your fields, right? Because
very good, Joe. That's good. So they used to go and eat by this older woman or their grandmother, but I assume it's older woman here. Avaluhu torta, so they had some sort of oxen. Shaklov is vinta, she sold it, the alayo on their behalf. Atakrovim, the kamed Rav Nachman, so their relatives came to Rav Nachman, tried to say, what right does she have to act within the property of the Yisomim? She's not appointed as an apotropos, an executor. Samalei, mavito, dezavna, what's her right to sell on their behalf? Samalei, you tell me she's samkuetzel balabait. You tell me that some are somek, meaning that they rely on an individual, they eat by this individual. And there's so much on this individual. It's not. It's our Mishnah. That's our Mishnah. They have the equivalent powers to an executor when the Yisomim rely on such an individual. So since they rely on this Sapka, she's the equivalent of being appointed an executor and can act on their behalf. Birshuta de Lokeach says, well, she sold the ox, and then it went up in value in the possession of the buyer. Right? So I'm sorry, Hai Yakir went up in value, Bishutu Lokeaki Yakir. Says, well, once she sold it, went up in the value in the, I'm sorry, went up in value to the person who purchased it. I mean, that's not her problem. She sold it, and it went up in value to the one who purchased it. Bahalo Nikite Tame, oh, but he didn't receive the money. They didn't receive the money for the transaction. Amalu in Kane, Hanu the Rav Chaninai by Idi. This is Rabbi Chaninai by Idi, Tamar Shmuel, Tamar Chaninai by Idi, Tamar Shmuel, Nikse Yitomim, Arihim Kekesh. Nikse Yitomim are like Kekesh in the fact that Lo Mikne, Lo Mikaspo, that the transaction is not complete even though there's a Mashikha, even though there's a Kinyan, right? The transaction is not completed until the money changes hands. So over here, since the individual purchased it from them, did not pay the money yet, it remains in their possession to their benefit. That means if it goes up in value, he must pay the higher price because they can reverse the transaction here, just like Hekdesh. Hekdesh, there's no finality to the sale until money is paid. So now, we're gonna have a little case here and then go back, and the Gemara's gonna discuss this position, Rabbi Chanayah by Yidi
Amishul. So maybe the buyer can either pay a higher price,
or the sale is invalid, correct? Comrade the Rabbono Ukva, right? So they had this Hamor of Rabbono Ukva, Yakim Mashkua of Arba Arba. So you told me it took Mashikha on it when it was by four. But Yakir, Kam Shita Shita, and then it went up to six, but you know, I mean six per. And so he had, I'm sorry, not Comrade is the wine. I'm sorry, the wine of Rabbono Ukva. The Yakomim took it, made Mashikha on it, right? And they did it at four per barrel. Right? Then Yakir, Kam Shita Shita, went up to 6-6. They only go into possession with Kaspa. So therefore, right, there's no completion to the deal here. And since there's no completion to the deal, maybe they should have to pay the higher price over here. Now that's going to be questioned by the Gemara in a second, which is that it shouldn't work that way, because we should always work to the benefit of the Yisomim, and that's exactly what the Gemara is going to discuss now.
Can we cover the conclusion about the age limit? If there's an age limit, like how long will they consider Yisomim?
They are, it's for the executor to transact on behalf until they're going.
What did it look like in terms of this rule of
it's as long as the executor is acting on their behalf. That would say this rule's in effect. And so once they act on their behalf, they become gedolim, then they become full parts of society, then they have regular laws and kinyan, right? So a person takes possession of payrolls from Yisomim through Mashikha, Yakir, if they go up in price, we're going to act on their behalf, and therefore that's like that the transaction is not complete because there was no money to exchange hands. If it goes up in price, he's going to have to pay the higher price, or they can reverse the transaction. Zol, what happens if they go down in price? It gets cheaper. Meaning that it's now to the benefit of Yisomim to have the price locked in and not reverse it. Then, again, why should they be any worse off? Why should the hedge be any worse than Hekdesh? I mean, in a regular layman had transacted in such a manner, the transaction would be complete at Mashikha. So therefore, we consider it complete. So again, they get the benefit both ways, which is that if the price goes up, they can pull out of the transaction because we say it's not complete because no money exchanged hands. On the other hand, if the transaction goes in their favor, we say that they did Mashikha, and by Hedyotot, that's a good kinyan. So the transaction will be complete, and they cannot reverse the buyer cannot reverse the transaction anymore. So again, so they're benefiting in both directions. Now the other way around, On the other hand, what? They took possession, the Yisomim took possession of payrolls. Yakir, if they want a price, they should be no worse off than a hedyot. If you do Mashikha, transaction's complete. So they're buying here. So what's to their benefit? That the transaction's locked. When the price goes up, they bought purchase at the lower price. We're going to lock the transaction based on the kinyan that they made. Zol, if it goes down in price, sober mino, dino Rav Chaninai bar Yidi. Again, that's like Rav Chaninai bar Yidi, that what? That the transaction doesn't lock until there is money exchanges hands. So again, the seller can back out and pay the lower price, because that's to their benefit. We say the transaction is not complete. So basically, we're saying in both directions. If Mashikha is to their benefit, we say the transaction is complete with kinyan. If Kesef is to their benefit, that the transaction is not complete until money goes exchanges hands, then we say, again, to their benefit, it goes that the transaction is not complete. So then, Amar Lar Bishisha Brei Rav Yidi, you're going to end up being to their detriment now. Right? Because if you always go to the benefit of Yisomim, guess who's not going to want to transact with them? Right? Then it goes, Haroi! At the end, it's going to be to their detriment. But did who? The Simnin de Mitzrache Peri, they're going to want to buy fruits or possessions. Nobody will transact with them on credit, because everybody's going to want their money. nobody's going to want to allow them to have the ability to reject the sale afterwards. It's going to demand cash on delivery, right? It'll be COD. Otherwise, they're not going to transact with them. So it's going to end up being, if you say this is the tekana of the silver, you're going to end up hurting them in the long run because nobody will transact with them on credit. Now, now what happens if they transact with money? A pay rate. So they purchased fruits with cash. So, if the price goes down, lo yakoch ed yadcha mam hekdesh. Again, so if you know where's the hekdesh, then what do you need a kinyan? Since there was no kinyan over here, the transaction is not complete, they can back out of the transaction because prices went down. Yak, your prices go up, sober me knows, I know the Rav Chanan bar Idi. Again, this would be like Rav Chanan bar Idi who says when money works, mold konot by yiselmiyah. So therefore that should be sufficient even without a mishicha, right? They should be able to take kinyan over this property. So again, Rav Shisha stands up, I'm like Rav Shisha bar Idi, you're going to end up being to their detriment. What's their detriment? How can we say in the Marvo Metzia, why do we say that ma'ot are not konot? Why do we say that when a person purchases some property, we don't just say money, even though maybe, right? That ma'ot don't need d'oraisa. Even though money could create a kinyan d'oraisa, how can we say you need mishicha? Why is that? Because what are we afraid of? We're afraid you're going to buy the property and it's going to be by the seller. What's going to happen? There's going to be a fire in the seller's storehouse. You know what he's going to say? I don't care. It's not my property anymore. I'm going to leave it there. So what have you done now for the Yisomim? You've created exactly the problem that we try to avoid by having a Kinyan Meshicha, which is that we don't want the Mokher to be disengaged from the property, the seller to be disengaged from the property, because then he's going to let it go burn up, right, and go to pieces, because he's going to say it's still okay after the buyer's property rate. Now, if you've attacked him like this for the Yisomim, that they can back out, or that Mo's are konot, the Mo's work, all right, so you now run the Yisomim into this problem. That's what Rosh Hashanah says. Right? So that people are what's the seller going to say? Your stuff burnt up in the storehouse. You're out of luck. Too bad. Right? So yo, what happens the other way around? Somebody else purchased payros from the Yisomim with cash. So yaker, if they went up in price, right? Again, they should get the benefit of lay people. What's the benefit of lay people? The transaction is not complete until there is a kinyan. So therefore, they should be able to back out of the kinyan, back out of the transaction, so they can get the higher price. Zol, if it went down in price, I know the Rabbi Chanan bar Idi. That's the what? That if it goes down in price, they locked. Because they had money, money or konot, and they locked. Guess who stands up and says again, you think this is their benefit, it's going to be their detriment? That's Rav Shisha. Rav Shisha, bray the Rav Idi. This is to their detriment. The zimnin, the mitzarch, and the zuze. Sometimes they're going to need money. They're going to want to sell for money. The lucky did I go at the other pay rate. Nobody's going to be willing to forward them cash, right? Even though, what? Until they get physical delivery of the product. Why? Because they're going to run into this problem. They're going to have the upper hand on this transaction. They can back out if things go in their favor, and they can keep locked it if it goes in their favor. So nobody's going to be willing to deliver. So they're going to be basically locked out of the market from transacting in a normal manner because everything is to their benefit. People will demand COD with the cash, purchases, and they're going to demand delivery of the goods if the people pay cash because they're not going to be willing to take the risk that the Yisomim can back out of the transaction. So in the end, the Tosfos Ritz says in the end, based on Rav Shisha's criticism of what happened, then Rav Chanilai's position is only going to apply where? So he says, Nimsa Akshav Shadina Yisomim Shobe L'Shar Bnei Adam. That everything, they're going to be included every day, because of our chutz, what's the exceptional case? When other people made a kinyan from them, derech mishicha v'hukru, and they went up in price. That's the only place they're going to be able to back out, because in that instance there really is no detriment to say that they can back out of that situation. So he says, so that's the only case where we'll go to their benefit, which is someone else makes a mishicha, we'll say ma'ot konot, and they can back out of it. But otherwise we're going to say they transact like regular people, otherwise we're going to end up the situation that what we think is to their benefit will end up hurting them. Okay, so Amar Rav Ashi, Anav Rav Kahana, Chatmina Nashtar De'ime, the Zira, we signed on the Shtar of Ime, the Zira, Yatma, the Mizadna Arab, for Yisomim that was selling land, the cargo. In order to pay off cargo is the tax, either the head tax or some sort of governmental tax that you need to pay. The law akrazdal, and they sold it without having an auction, a public auction. That's a general principle. If you sell property of Yisomim, you need to sell it in a public auction so we get the best price for them. So in this instance, we say they can sell without an auction, as Rashi says, is because Gavaya Melech Nachutz. When the government comes to collect taxes, they're under pressure. And if you don't pay it, they're not going to, you know, they're not going to let you get away with that. So since we're under pressure, we let you sell without an auction. Davin Aradai, and there you say, the cargo for paying the head tax, or the tax, the mizone, for food for the yisomim, ulu kvura, and to bury them, mizavnina b'lach razitot, you could sell it without any announcement. That's the way Rashi reads the Gemara, that this has to do with yisomim. Tosus rejects Rashi's shot and says this actually has to do with the women. It has to do with cargo mizone, kvura, the isha ubono. It's not the yisomim being the male children, but for the woman and the girls who eat out of the estate, we're talking about their mizonos and their kvura. And Tosus says, obviously for kvura, we're not going to wait around to bury the mace. We're going to wait for them to auction off the car before they bury the mace? No. But if they borrowed money to pay for the kvura, then we sell the property right away to repay the loan, and we don't say wait 30 days or wait to 60 days for the auction in order to pay back the loan. All right? Amram Sabo, apotropos the Yatni Habe. Amram Sabo was a executor on behalf of the Yisomim. Atu program the Kamei Rav Nachman. Some who came before Rav Nachman, again, was a Dayan. They came before him to say, complain. Amalei Kalavish Mikse Miyatme. He's wearing the clothes. He's dressing nicely. You know, beforehand, he didn't have such nice clothing. All of a sudden, he became the executor of their estate. He has nicer clothing. Right? He says, no, he's entitled to do that because since he's acting on their behalf, his dressing better actually is to the benefit of the Yisomim, so that people will listen to him and he'll be able to transact on their behalf in a better manner. So Ka'ako B'Shate Mididhu, he's eating from their property, Vlo Amud, and he's not wealthy enough, meaning that we see that he's eating very well and we know that he cannot afford that himself. So it must be that he's stealing from the estate in order to eat. So Amor Mitziashka, let's say maybe, you're right, he's not wealthy, but maybe he landed into some, I don't know, he won the lottery, he came into some good Yerusha, whatever it is. He says, Bahakam Afsid, we see that he's causing losses, he's not investing in the property of the Yisomim, right? So Amar Lo, Aitili Sadid Afsid, Vesalgine, says, if you bring me proof that he's causing losses to the property of the Yisomim, he says, then I will remove him from that position. Amar Abuna, Chavrin Mishmei Derav, Apitropos the Masid, Apitropos that causes losses, Nisalkinim, we remove him. Dietmar, we have this position, right? We have this Machlokes, Apitropos the Masid, a Apitropos that does not invest properly in the property or into the estate of Yisomim, the Huna Amarab Nisalkinim, the Huna in the name of Rab says we remove him. The Bay Rabbi Shila Amre Loma Salkinim, we do not remove him. Again, I don't know, it's because either their father appointed him or Bezin appointed him, and they're relying on this individual, and it would be too much of a tear cut to remove the individual, right, if we don't see if he's not a Yudayim causing them a loss. The Hilchos of the Halacha is Nisalkinim, we do remove him if we see that he's not investing on their behalf properly. Now, Apitropos, Sheminu Abi Yisomim Yishavas. This goes back to our Mishnah, that we said that if the father appointed him, he must take a Shavua. That's the Tanakhama's position, my Taimah. Why does he have to take a Shavua that he did it right? Ilav Yisle Hanomine. Had the father not provided a benefit to this executor, Lo Avalei Apitropos, he would have acted. The reason that this person is the executor of the estate is because he's paying back a debt, basically, that he owes to the father. He owed him one, so he's doing this executive, being the executor on his behalf because of that. Rishum Shavua, and because if we impose a shvua on him, he will not do it because he kind of owes him one. And if he owes him one, he's going to do it whether there's a shvua involved or not. We know Beis Din lo yishavah, but if a Beis Din appoints him, he does not take a shvua. Milsu v'almahu, da'avi l'beit dino. He's doing Beis Din as a favor. Beis Din needs someone to be the executor. He does him a favor on behalf of Beis Din. He rabbi delay shvua, atalim nuyeh. If you're going to put a shvua on him, he's going to say, no way, I'm doing this favor. If you want me to do a favor for Beis Din, go ahead. But if you're going to make me also take a shvua, I'm not going to do that for Beis Din. I'm not going to put myself in a position where I have to also take a Shavua. Says, you want me to take care of the kids? I'll take care of the kids. But you ask me to take care of the kids and take a Shavua? No way. I'm not taking the Shavua. I'm not going to get that. And therefore, basically, he's going to lose the ability to appoint executors to the estates. Now, Abishol says the opposite. Shomer Chiluk Tvarim is the opposite. My time, I mean, you were based in Yishavah. If Beis Din appoints him, he takes a Shavuah. Bahayano, the Kanopik Alei Kalah, the Inish Mehemga. Right? When Beis Din appoints you to be the executive of the state, what are people going to think? This guy's reliable. This guy has the shame to him. He's a Nemon, right? That gives you added status. He's getting benefit from this. So therefore, who the Kasamek Alei Beis Din Mishum Shavuah, Lo Atalim Nuyeh. Because Beis Din's relying on this individual, it's giving him benefit that he gets a shame to. That shame to, right, is worth enough that he won't not to it, if we say to him, what? Take a shvuah. It's not worth it to him to give that up, that value. I mean, we knew obviously Yisomim, whereas if the father of the state, the father of the Yisomim appointed him, loy shabbat, why? He's doing it. He likes the guy. They were best friends. Not that he did him a tova, Rashi says monetary tova, right? He didn't do him anything that he really is obligated to him. He's just doing him a favor. He said, you know, we were friends forever. I want to take care of him. I'll do him a favor. Now, if we're going to place a shvuah on him, he's not going to do this favor. He's what? He's going to do a favor plus end up with the shvuah? He says, no way. If it's just to take care of him, that's fine. But add a shvuah on that, it's not. The lacha is like Abishol. Therefore, if Basin appoints him, he does take a shvuah. If the father appoints him, he does not take a shvuah. Now, Tanya, Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Zev Zeh Yishabah. Both of them take a shvuah. The lacha kibbarav, and the lacha is like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. Now, this is a bright story. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, we know Mishnato, Kav Benaki, and in general, we paskin like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. And the Mishnah, the bright story, says, lacha kibbarav. So who's the lacha like? So Tosfos Rebbe points out of here, Rabbi Tam also mentions it over here, that despite the fact that normally a lacha is like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, that's only when the Amoraim don't paskin, the later Amoraim don't paskin against him. We just had a lacha in the Gemara that said, Hilcha lacha ki Abishol. So the fact that halacha is like Abishol means that halacha is not like Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, even though Mishnah Tovu Kavinaki. And even though it says halacha is Barav, that's in a Mishnah, and we know that the Gemara says in other places that we don't paskin halacha, we talk a Mishnah. Even if the Mishnah, or Bryce, I'm sorry, anything about Tanaic work, we do not paskin. When they say halacha is Barav, that does not carry weight for us. So despite the fact that Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov here disagrees with Abishol, we don't paskin like him. Tani Rav Tachlifa Bar, Marva Kamed Rabbi Bo Petropus Shiminu Avriya Zomim Yishabah Ibnei Shehu Nosei Sakhar. That if a father appointed a apitropus, right, then he should take his shua Ibnei Shehu Nosei Sakhar, because he's getting paid. I mean, you gave him a kav, meaning that you paid him and it disappeared. Like, since when did he get paid? Where is the payment that he's receiving for being the executive of the state? Elaim Ibnei Shehu Kin Nosei Sakhar. Not that he is getting paid, but he's the equivalent of getting paid, meaning that because, again, this must be like the Tanakhama, the fact that he did him a tova before, right, that he kind of owes him one. Since he owes him one, it's the equivalent of him getting benefit or getting paid, and since he's getting paid, right, we make him take a shvuah in the hanoah that he's getting, like that he is a nosei sachar. Okay, we'll stop over here. Thank you.